This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we send peace and blessings on His beloved messenger, our Mawlana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this blessed month of Rabiul Awwal, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to send the best of His creation as a mercy to all the worlds, as a guide, as a teacher par excellence, as a character unsurpassed in excellence, as the best of husbands, as the best of fathers, as the best of guides, as the best of friends, as the best of well-wishers, the best of the ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best of the anbiya and the mursaleen, the prophets and messengers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ennoble his status on the Day of Judgment and in the Akhirah, and make us worthy followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam demands that we know him, that we know everything about him, that we know him better than we know our own children and our own parents, that we know him better than we know ourselves. Because the more we know about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the more we will love him. Because to know him is to love him. And to love him is to want to emulate him, to be like him, to follow him to the best of our imperfect abilities. So in this blessed month, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us again by feeling the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our hearts and in our lives and in our homes, and to see reflections of his character in our character, and to take as beloved what he loved, and to leave aside what he left aside. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was described, and we hear about his physical descriptions in the Shama'il, about his habits. And someone asked our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, what was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like? And she knew him in every aspect of life, private, public, from a very young age till the moment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him, and at that moment his noble head was resting on her lap. So she described him in a very simple summative statement. He said, he was the walking Quran. So if we want to walk like him, we need to know the Quran. Otherwise, where are we going to walk? And that's why we gather. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this gathering, to bless this host, to bless and their family, and to bless all of those who came and those who could not attend live, with an understanding of his book. And this is our gathering here is not because of any of our abilities or because of our schedules or because of our plans. We are here for this gathering purely as a rahmah, as a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, 100 different hurdles can come and you can plan and then it doesn't come through. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to be present here and now for His remembrance to study His book. So what we have chosen for study today is the 55th surah of the Quran, which is Ar-Rahman. And I know it's a favorite of many people because it sounds so beautiful, even for those who don't understand it. Recently, a friend of my eldest sister was dying, and she is a non-Muslim. So she was very restless in her hospital bed. So my sister decided to play for her on her phone the recitation of Surah Ar-Rahman. Then she calmed down. And she said, it's so beautiful. She said, play it for me again and leave a recording here so I can keep hearing it. So that's a good story. But the question is, what does the recitation of Surah Ar-Rahman do to my qalb? That's the ultimate question. And if that's just the barakah of the hearing it, what should it do if we understand it? So the majority of scholars of the Quran have said this is a Makkan surah, revealed when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Mecca among the Quraysh, undergoing hardships and difficulty and obstruction and opposition and ridicule by the Quraysh, which is the Meccan period's summary. And the style of the surah suggests that it's Meccan, but there are a few opinions that a part of it, or some say even all of it, may have been revealed in Medina. This is just a difference of opinion, but the majority say it's a Meccan surah. And it has been called the bride of the Quran. Young ladies, why would something, when you say something is the bride, what does it bring to your mind? And I don't want you to imagine that you are a bride. You're too young for that. But what does it mean? The bride means there is a celebration, somebody is getting married, and who is the center of attraction? Who is the most beautiful, most decorated in that whole gathering? The bride, not the bridegroom, right? The bride. So this is one way of saying that this is such a beautiful surah, it's like the bride of the Quran. And the name of the surah, as you know, starts is Ar-Rahman. And that is derived from the first of 78 ayats. That is what this surah is. Now, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts this surah. Ar-Rahman. Stop. In English grammar, we have what's called subject and predicate. You know something? The subject, predicate means something about them, the news. There is a subject here, Ar-Rahman. And nothing after that. So what does that do? This is the style that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses, because when everybody hears that, it says, Ar-Rahman, then you pay attention. What? What are we saying about Ar-Rahman? But it pauses. The rest of the surah is the predicate, is the news of who Ar-Rahman is and what Ar-Rahman is. All the rest of the surah can come under that. Tells us about Ar-Rahman. So the first question is, what does Ar-Rahman mean to you? Let's ask. What does it mean to our host?
Ar-Rahman means that Allah is very merciful. Yes. Rahman. Rahim Kalim.
Mm-hmm. When I reflect upon Ar-Rahman, I reflect upon there was two names historically mentioned about himself, was Ar-Rahman and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jazakallah khair. So there are specific names of Allah which are independent of everything else, and no one else can be named that. The two names are what?
Allah
and Ar-Rahman. So this is actually the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can go over what it implies and what it means. As we know, we start every surah with Bismillah, in the name of Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, two names. Ar-Rahim is also a name of Allah, is a name of Allah, but doesn't have the same level as Ar-Rahman. So, Ar-Rahman in its Arabic form is what's called Sighatul Mubalagha, means a hyperbole, means something in its exaggerated form, to do with rahmah. Rahmah means what? Rahmah means to have compassion, to care, to have mercy, to love, to care, to take. All of those are encompassed in the word rahmah. It is not just mercy. Because in the English language, mercy just means you're going to punish somebody, but you showed mercy. It is more than that. Okay? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So the word Ar-Rahman has to do with the absolute rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an exhibition of His grace, and it's a unique name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its most intense and superlative. In other words, if you could imagine rahmah could be put in a bowl, it would be overflowing, endless rahmah. That is the mercy, the love, the caring of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the source of all of that, Ar-Rahman. That's where all of the rahmah that you see in the world comes from. From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is actually a hadith about this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah, this is an example, has 100 parts. And one part of that rahmah is all the rahmah, the mercy that you see in the world. Human beings, jinns, animals, everyone that is showing mercy to their little ones, to others, all the mercy that you see in the world is like one part of Allah's rahmah. And He has kept 99 to Himself, in a way. Even that is an example, because Allah's rahmah is not 99 to 1, it's infinite. Okay. But it's just to make us understand that. So this word Ar-Rahman, in its form the way it is a specific name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everyone else who names themselves has to name themselves as Abdur-Rahman or Amatul Rahman, whatever. But you can't say Rahman, and you can't have Rahman as a last name. Okay? It has to be Abdur-Rahman, because this is Allah. Allah's name. Just like nobody is going to name themselves Allah. They will say Abdullah or something like that. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So, as we say, it is part of his being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ يَدُ اللَّهَ أَوِدُ الرَّحْمَنِ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, invoke, call Allah or call him Ar-Rahman. Say, Ya Allah or Ya Rahman. أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Either of those. Any, he has, to him belongs the most beautiful names. But these are specific names. And this Rahman does not have a plural because it's absolute in itself. It does not have a dual. Okay, no two. So, Rahma also has another term that is linked with it, which is called in Arabic Rahm. Anybody know what Rahm is in Arabic? The womb of the mother. The uterus, they say stomach, it's not stomach. The womb of the mother. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has connected the womb of the mother with Rahma, with his name. Now if you think, what does the womb provide?
Nutrition, sanctity.
It provides nutrition.
Sanctity, I mean.
Safety.
Generations. Generations, oh my goodness.
It provides an environment for growth, for development, nutrition, comfort, safety, protection. Even music is playing in the rahm. You know what music is playing? What they are hearing?
The heartbeat.
The heartbeat of the mother. And that gives them comfort. Because they can't see, but they can hear. Okay. So, the womb, imagine creating an environment that allows you to grow to your maximum capacity, to your best potential. So Ar-Rahman provides us everything we need, not just in the Rahm, but outside of the Rahm, to be and to reach our best potential as the best of his creation, human being. We'll take a little aside. The Prophet ﷺ said that Rahm, the womb, Allah gave it the ability to speak in a way, in his way, complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you have connected me to you by your name. But there are people who don't maintain the ties of the Rahm. You know what the ties of the Rahm are? Family ties. Brothers and sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, nieces, nephews. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala satisfied the Rahm by saying that I will join with those who join the ties of the Rahm and I will cut off from those who cut off ties of the Rahm. What does that mean? It is an obligation for us to remain connected with our family members. And it's very important living in this environment where nobody knows anybody. I see people who have 5 children living in the area. When did you see your child last? I haven't seen anyone in 3 years. This is cutting off from the Rahm. Something happens, we argue with a sibling or a cousin, and we say, I will never talk to you again. You cut off with them. Now imagine if Allah cut off from us because of that. Okay. So just remember, this is just on the aside, that one of our fundamental duties is to keep connected with our families. Now, all of the ayats end with a certain pattern in this surah. What is that pattern? An. And the word, when you add an to many things, it gives it a dual form. In Arabic, we have singular plural and dual, which we don't have for two. Okay. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, there is an ayah which is repeated over and over and over again in the surah for a special purpose. What is that ayah? فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So what is the real translation of this? Now you missed the point. The word you in English means singular. It also means plural. But what does Rabbukuma? Which of the favors of the Lord do you two deny? That's the correct meaning. Both of you deny. So who are the both that are being addressed in this surah?
Man and jinn.
The two creations of Allah, mankind and jinnkind. Why are they being addressed? Because they are the only two creations who took a choice to obey and disobey. The only two that will be judged on the day of judgment. Okay. So every time you hear this, Allah is addressing it in dual form. Okay, so just remember that. And of course, it makes it sound very melodious because it all rhymes beautifully. So why is this ayah, fa, the word fa means then, or, you know, something is mentioned, then says fa, means after mentioning it, then. Which of the favors, the grace of your Lord, do both of you deny? Okay. Ala, the word ala means favors, means grace, the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are going to talk about those one by one. Because all of this is, in a way, leading back to what it started with, Ar-Rahman. Because all of the grace of Allah, all the bounty, all the ala of Allah, are because He is Ar-Rahman. And Ar-Rahman is an all-inclusive term. Whereas Ar-Rahim is a more particularized, like Ar-Rahim, Allah shows Rahmah to the believers. But Rahman's mercy is for everyone, every creature, including the disbelievers, including the ones who denied Him, including the one who claimed, An Allah, I am Allah. Who was that? Firaun, Pharaoh. You know what he said? I am Allah, I am God. So how can you say Allah had mercy on him? Ar-Rahman had mercy. What is the evidence that Allah had mercy on Firaun?
He was the kingdom and all the
kingdom he had, yes.
He
had all the wealth, all the trappings of the dunya, but more than that, the day he said, I am Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have snatched him like that, finished him. So it was his rahmah that he gave him a long life. It was his rahmah that he sent Musa alayhi salam to him again and again and again to call him to the truth with 9 different signs, 9 different times. That's his rahmah to a one who's saying, I am God. Otherwise, he should have been like a fly, squatted out like that. So even with Fir'aun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is Ar-Rahman. So one day, it is narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, either himself was reciting, or he had some of his companions were reciting this, and others were listening. And this ayah kept being repeated. And they listened quietly, like we listen. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, why is it that I don't see any response from you? you keep hearing this. Why is it that the jinns responded better than you? And he's telling this to his companions, to the ashab, because they were listening to this. فَبِأَيَّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبُونَ فَبِأَيَّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا فَبِأَيَّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا They kept listening, they kept listening. The Prophet ﷺ said that on the night of the jinn, when I recited this surah to the jinns, every time I said, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ They responded. They didn't sit quietly. They said, لَا بِشَيْءٍ مِّن نِعْمَكَ رَبَّنَا نُكَذِّبُ فَلَّكَ الْحَمْدِ They said, none of your favors do we deny our Lord. For you is all hamd. Every time this came, they said, we don't deny any of your favors, hamd to you. In other words, they responded because this is such a thing. Allah saying, you deny? Said, no, we do not deny. It's an acknowledgement. It also tells us that we should respond to the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ used to, when he was reciting the Quran, even in Salah, he would respond to it. For example, whenever an ayah came of tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yusabbihu lillahi ma fi, he would do tasbih. Ayahs of hamd came, he would do hamd. Ayahs of takbir came of his kibriya, Allah, he would say, Allahu Akbar. Ayahs of Jannah, when he was reciting, he would ask for Jannah. When ayahs of the fire, of punishment would come, adab, he would seek Allah's protection from that. So we have to interact with the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ar-Rahman. Now everybody has some idea of Ar-Rahman. Mm-hmm. Can we encompass this Ar-Rahman? No. We can only talk about some things because it's limitless. Our minds, if you put all of our minds of all human beings, we still can't encompass Allah's what Ar-Rahman is or who Ar-Rahman is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ar-Rahman. Now you keep that in your mind, that everything that's going to come is related to that. So the first favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described who Ar-Rahman is, he says, Allama al-Quran. عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ He taught the Qur'an. عَلَّمَ How is this a mercy to you? جَزَاكِ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا That is the best knowledge because it is the words of Allah Himself. There is no greater, we don't even want to say book, but there are no greater words than the words of Allah Himself. There is no greater guidance than the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no greater law than the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is all encompassed in Quran. The Quran tells you stories of the past as lessons in a style that's unique. It tells you events of the future that nobody can tell you, no soothsayer can tell you, no fortune teller. And he gives you pictures of those scenes that are going to come, described in detail. That's the Quran. Makes laws for you, for your protection and my protection, so that we can lead good lives. So the Quran is the summary of everything. Now suppose the Quran was taken away. What would happen? Think of your own life. Somebody might say, I could lead my life any way I want, total freedom. Yes. No guidance, no values, no virtues, do whatever you want. Total chaos. Can you imagine a world where there were no laws of any kind? If you just shut all the lights off in the traffic circles, guess what will happen? Just one thing. And remove all the other laws. You know, you can kill, you can steal, you can do whatever you want. Who would have safety? Who would be alive? except the criminals. And guess what's going to happen? One day Allah will lift the Quran. That's one of the last things before He destroys the dunya. And when the Quran is lifted, the hadith said it will even be lifted from the pages, but before that it will be lifted from the hearts of people. And those who had memorized will be taken by Allah. No Quran exists. And then he said, who will remain? The worst of the worst. And on them, the Qiyamah will come. When the skies are torn apart and the orbits are gone and the stars are, and sun has lost its light and the moon has lost, and the mountains are in smithereens and the oceans have boiled over and all of that. Everything's exploding. The Quran is taken away. So if the Quran is taken away from my heart, it is like a qiyamah has come to me. That's how much we should value the Quran. علم القرآن. He taught the Quran. Did he teach you the Quran? Did he teach you the Quran? He says he does. How? Let me hear from someone else.
Through the Prophet.
Through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We just started with that introduction. He sent the script and the walking example of the Quran, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Who taught you the Quran? He was taught by Allah directly and through Jibreel alayhi salam. Over 23 years. He didn't send it as a book. Can you imagine if you're given the whole book at one time? What it would be like? Gradually. What does that tell us? That we should also learn the Quran gradually, but progressively. We can also learn it. Can we learn it in 23 years? He said, well, yes, we can. If we still have 23 years left. Those who don't, like myself, need to put it on fast forward a little bit, right? We have wasted our lives, many of us. We don't know, except the barakah of the Quran on the top shelf. I don't know if it's on the top shelf. Yes, I see one up there. The Quran should not be on the shelves. Remember in board meetings, they say, let's shelve this idea. Let's put it away for later. The Quran should never be shelved. It should always be open. In our hands, in our minds, and especially in our hearts. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made all the arrangements to bring this Quran, this ultimate guidance to us through Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who taught it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved the Quran, as he says. نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَنَحْنُ إِنَّا نَحْنُ What is the ayah that we have? نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا نَحْنُ لَحَافِظُونَ Okay. Indeed, we have revealed it and we will protect it. And he protected the understanding of the Quran as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. So it's not open to my nafs the way I want to see it, the way I want to interpret it, fit it in my life and change things, okay? Because the way I like it, make my life more comfortable. It was explained to us and it was preserved and it has come to us. And it is now taught to us through our teachers. This is all part of that. علم القرآن, that this is an ongoing favor, that every generation is taught the Quran, that Allah is teaching every generation the Quran by making that provision. It's after this great favor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes to the next ayah. He says, خلق الإنسان. He alone created insan. He alone created insan. That means your creation came after. The Quran existed before. The Quran existed in the Lawh-e-Mahfuz, okay, in that guarded tablet that we don't know anything about except its name. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it down as we needed, according to our needs. خلق الإنسان. This is another description of Ar-Rahman, his favor that he created you. What is the favor he says? خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. We created you in the best form. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised the human being as the best of his creation. So isn't that a favor of Ar-Rahman on us? Now you can reflect on each of these. What went into that creation of Adam alayhi salam that we don't know that he created, that will come. But what we know of creation is what? We have one cell from the mother, one cell from the father, two invisible cells that we can't even see, they come together, and we are seeing the product sitting here. What it took, what processes it took, what forms it took, what it has produced in different parts of our bodies. There's a brain, there's a heart, there's a liver, there's the lungs, there's the limbs, there's the ears, there's the eyes, from those single cells, which differentiated into so many things. Can you imagine if you had an orange and the orange was transformed into the world? So how can an orange become a world? How did we, more complicated than the earth, come from a little cell? Ar-Rahman. So what I want you to do when you go home, the home assignment is that for each one of these, reflect on the blessing of the Quran. Reflect on what it took for it to come to us. Through the heavens, what changes, what the angels went through, that Quran is coming here. What gates were opened, you know? What black holes, you know? What wormholes in the heavens through which the Quran came, we have no idea. It came. And how it was preserved. And then reflect, and this is easier to reflect because this is in the seen world. خلق الإنسان. How we are created. Even those who haven't studied science can read in Google the creation of a human being. Is there any other creator? خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distinguished this insan by the next ayah. He says, عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ. And he enabled him, taught him bayan. What is bayan? The ability to communicate, the ability to express yourself. And we express ourselves with our tongues, with our words, but we also express ourselves with facial, with our eyes, because these days we, with our eyes, we are wearing masks. With our facial expressions, with our body language. All of that is in bayan. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the human beings that level of communication, of language, that is not seen in any other of his creation. How many languages do we have? Forget about anything else. Just count the numbers of languages. Does anybody know? There are something like that, dialects, I've forgotten, I've done some work on it before. And how many thousands have become extinct? Okay. عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us these languages, He taught us the expressions, and all of that. And who did He teach first? Adam alayhi salam was taught directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the names of everything that even the angels did not know. Allah is the best of teachers, He says. Allama al-Quran, He is the best teacher. As Allah, as Ar-Rahman, And the best teacher from his creatures, from his creation, is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this bayan is another thing you should reflect on. I was reflecting on these things yesterday. I said the true value of these things can be somewhat understood. We still don't. If we imagine we lost it. Suppose you lost the ability to talk or communicate or to understand. And this happens. We see this in the medical field, especially in my specialty, where people come in with aphasia. In a way, they can't talk. They know what they want to say. Nothing comes out. Or the other kind of aphasia. They're hearing all of you, but it makes no sense. Or one that includes global aphasia. They can't understand, they can't hear. Now, what is the existence of this person? If Allah were to take us away, take this away, how much would we appreciate it? I mean, right now we talk about the gift of the gab. You know, we talk. We love to talk. One of the young students might say, well, if I lost the ability to talk, I can still text. And there are devices that can convert the text into voice. Well, guess what? When you have global aphasia, you can't even text. You can't form the words. So there's no getting away from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So reflect on this, that my ability to communicate, my ability to show love, to show caring, to console somebody, to help somebody, to advise somebody, everything else, to show my child that I love them, to show my parents that I respect and honor them, it's all gone. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after reminding us of these personal favors, of guidance, of creating us, and giving us this ability to talk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then asks us to look around us in the universe. Next ayah. Ash-shamsu wal-qamaru bi-husban. Everybody knows what shams is? And the sun, and the qamar, the moon, husban. Husban again. The two are mentioned as husban. Means they have a computed, settled, balanced orbit movement that Allah has created. Comes from hisab, which is calculated, perfectly timed. The movements of the sun and the moon are perfect from the time, 14 billion years ago, 14.6 billion, whatever they estimated, till Allah brings it to an end, it will work in perfection. If the sun or the moon were to divert from their track by 1/1,000,000,000th of a degree in a billion years, everything would come to an end. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this. Sun and the moon. Do we take the sun as a blessing? In the winter time, yes. Or if we'd had a week of cloud and rain, the sun comes out. Do we take it as a blessing? Now, put the same formula. If the sun were taken away, what would happen? Simplest first thing that would happen is darkness. And then after that, everything will cease to exist. The plants will die, the animals will die, we will die, everything will be finished. If the moon were taken away, what would happen? The same thing would happen. Why? because the gravitational pull of that moon that pulls at the whatever 16 degrees or so, that gives us our seasons and gives us those things and manages the tides, will change the atmosphere to that degree that soon, in a few years, everything would die. Subhanallah. Now, how else are the sun and moon intimately linked in our lives? On a daily basis?
Dates,
time, what else?
Roads.
Seasons, what else? Come on, not physical in here.
Prayer times.
You are called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 5 times, depending on what? The movement of the sun. The most important act of ibadah is linked to the sun in a way. We are not worshipping the sun. Allah said He created them. In fact, He says, don't worship the sun and the moon. Worship me who created them. How about the moon? Is that related to you? Calendar. What else? Same ubudiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two more duties that we have to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are dependent on the moon. What are they? Come on, we argue about it all the time. Not the Eid, Ramadan. You want to go to, they want dessert before doing any work. Ramadan. And?
Hajj.
So 3 of our 4 acts of ibadah are linked to the sun and the moon. So is that not a manifestation of Ar-Rahman? That through this, He facilitates us to worship Him and fulfill the purpose for which we are created. وَالنَّجْمُ وَالشَّجَرُ يَسْجُدَانِ Najm is singular as opposed to Nujum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the star, but here meant stars, and shajar are trees that have hard stems, you know, trunks. Yes, Judan. What does that mean? They prostrate, they do sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, there is one other meaning of the word najm. Anybody know that? Yes. Yes. Foliage. Bushes that don't have hard stems. So, all the herbs, all of that, the bushes that don't have hard stems, najm is also used. So, there are people who have said, if you can take it both ways, the stars and the trees and the bushes, they all, yasjudan. Means they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, you might say, how do they worship Allah subhanahu? Have you seen trees in sajda? Other than when they break? Or after a storm? One is by their shadows. Do you think if the tree had the ability to go in sajda like we do and stand back up, do you think they would do that? Absolutely. But Allah kept them like that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Whatever.
Everything
that you know that you don't know, from the rocks, to the fish, to the stars, to the angels, to the jinns, to the cells of everything, they glorify, do tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But He says, but you do not understand. La yafqahu. You do not understand their tasbih. If we had been given the frequencies to understand what the trees are saying, when you hear the leaves rustling, you don't know what they're saying. When you hear the door open, you don't know what it's saying. When you hear the door shut with a bang, you don't know what they're saying. When you do this, you don't know what that is. Everything is in tasbih, we don't understand it. One other way in which they are in tasbih, tasbih means in worship and glorification of Allah, everything is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have created everything to be of service to who? Man. Ahsan al-taqwim, the best of my creation. So we are the top of the pyramid. And the fact that all creation serves us and is available to us, whether it's an elephant who is 50 times your power, who you subjugate and who will obey you, to everything else is for your service. That is their way of worshipping, one way of in which they worship Allah. Because Allah created them to serve human beings. So they are serving human beings by allowing themselves to be used whichever way this creature wants. So if all of them are serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worshipping Him by being subjugated to us, should not the one who is at the top of the pyramid worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is another thing to reflect. This is another thing where we should not, like, as kids, you know, we see bushes. If nothing else, I break a leaf. My dear child, that leaf was in tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see some bugs, we just stamp on them. The ants know who you are. What is the proof of that? They said the army of Sulaiman alayhi salam is coming. And what they might do, unknowingly, they even know that the army of Sulaiman alayhi salam would not kill us knowingly, they said, without knowing that we are here. So run. Every creature knows. What's our reflex when we see a bug of some kind? Kill it. It's in tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leave it alone. Unless it's going to harm you directly, you feel that, then you are permitted. But with that, not as a pastime, not for, you know, fun. You know, let's get the frogs out, let's see how hard we can hit it on the pavement. No. They are creatures of Allah. They are in tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us be aware of this. That everything is in tasbih of Allah. Everything. The trees. Only two things are mentioned. The stars, the trees, bushes. They do sajda of Allah. I think we will end this with having covered whatever 6 or 7 ayats that we've covered. Because I don't want to rush through this. We need to reflect on each one. And now that we've gotten some framework, you have a whole month to practice and think of each one of the favors of Allah. And if we reflect on those favors, what's going to happen to our hearts? Even if a human being does one thing good to you. Let me just give you an example. I have a new secretary in my office today, in this week. Every time she sends a message, she puts a little smiley face at me. So I appreciated that. I didn't tell her that, but I appreciate that. So little things that people do. Now when you look at all, and Allah is above all comparisons, if you look at all the favors, what will your heart feel?
Gratitude.
Shukr. Ya Allah, I am certainly not deserving of this. And the only reason this is coming all, I'm drowning in your blessing, because you are Ar-Rahman. 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 So that Ar-Rahman, when we hear, it should give such joy to our hearts. If somebody's feeling depressed, think of Ar-Rahman and everything will go. Because even no matter how difficult the situation is, it has come from Ar-Rahman. So it must have some goodness that I can see in it. So please reflect on those. We are going to end here for this particular session. And inshallah, I hope it's been of some use to some of us. Alhamdulillah, I found it useful for myself, and ultimately that's the most important, because if I don't benefit and if everybody else benefits, then I am the greatest loser, you know, like that show, Greatest Loser. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the coming and understanding of this, and may facilitate for us and open our hearts to his bounties, to understand them, to reflect on them properly. And to reflect, we need time alone and quiet, inshallah. To do that and reflect, don't go through, let me read the whole thing. One word, one ayah, and reflect and reflect and ponder. And then internalize it. And like I said, you may use, that's what I use. What if I lost this? What would my life be like? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.